today I'm talking to Jackie Carr, who really is one of my favourite people on the internet. I first found Jackie on Twitter and started following her, and she kept tweeting about Lululemon, and I hadn't heard of Lululemon back then and looked it up and thought, wow, that is a pretty rad company. And I pretty much went from there, and I contacted the people in the UK who were heading up Lululemon and wrote them a big email and said, oh my God, I've just got to meet you and work for you. And 4 weeks later, I was. So that was my connection with Jackie. And I remember, like, 2 weeks into my role, I emailed you whilst you were still at Lululemon and said, I just want to let you know that I found Lululemon through you, and thank you so much, because it's really changed my life. So, and now you have moved on from Lululemon and you are doing your own stuff. So you're a goal coach, writer, mm-hmm. speaker, and you're also co-founder of a really, really super awesome company. Would you say a company called Rock Your yeah. List? Do you call it a company?
We do. Yeah. We do.
Cool. So, Jackie, tell me a little bit more about you and Rock Your List.
Okay. Liz, I totally remember that email too. I like sit here and just went back in time to, like, I was sitting on the other side of the table I'm sitting at and I got that email. It's so crazy to be sitting here talking to you so many years later. It's so fun. Thank you for the intro and the love. It feels good. You know, sometimes you send stuff out into the internet ether and you never know. So it's so nice to hear the response seriously live on Skype, but also via email. It feels good. Everyone send Liz some love, because I love her too. So about me, I live in Venice, California. Mm-hmm. I had worked for Lululemon for over 6 years.
Yeah.
And actually this month last year, so October of 2013, I left Lululemon. It was probably, Liz, we could probably even be talking down to the day, because I know it was somewhere in the 20s of October, my last day.
Yeah.
So this is crazy. Almost my 1 year anniversary of being on my own.
Wow.
And I played many roles at Lululemon, you know, the stores, and also I was on their brand team and their HR team and people development team. And it really built a foundation for me to leap and move towards my passion of listening, connecting, and coaching others. Mm-hmm. I am a coach for sure. I don't love the title life coach. I've been playing with that in my head. I play with conscious coach or creative coach, mm-hmm. depending on if you're working on branding or getting present on what you're up to. So that's what I'm doing, is truly listening to what people are up to and providing insight. Some people need just one really loud, ridiculous cheerleader, and I get to be that person. Mm-hmm. And I take sometimes my coaching on hikes. I love to be in the mountains.
Yeah.
And so I'll do some of that work on the mountains. And then on the other side, my other leg, I would say, is Rock Your Bliss, a company I co-founded with my dear friend Mary Beth LaRue. She's mm-hmm. a radical yoga teacher in Venice as well. And you know, Liz, we came together and we really sat down and got clear that, or I told her actually on a beach over a pina colada, I won't lie, that I told her that my coaching practices really started to integrate and go deeper when I took them to the yoga mat.
Right.
So I started to play with how this work showed up in my own life. And mm-hmm. when we could start to bridge the gap from movement and yoga and a lot of the yoga philosophy as well into some of these coaching principles and modules that have worked in both of our lives, we really realized that this should be something that we're offering the world. This could be something really amazing. And I would say I'm more of the rock and roll loud human, and Mary Beth is the more blissful, soft, sweet human. So Rock Your Bliss came from our two personalities that are very, very energetically different coming together to create something for the world.
Amazing.
So that's Rock Your Bliss. And we do retreats and workshops. It's been so fun.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And, you know, through your writing on your own website and also through Rock Your Bliss and the things you blog about there, you talk a lot about people living their best lives.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one I've been exploring myself, especially as you grow older. I feel like it looks different.
Yeah.
For me, I've really been playing this year, Liz, with my values.
Okay.
So getting really crystal clear on what lights me up,
yeah.
what makes me feel good, what makes me me.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I can say for most of my 20s, I had inklings, but I had never really gotten clear of the depths of colors of my quilt, if you will.
Yeah.
Of what I've been, you know, standing on and creating in my life. And mm-hmm. so this year I've been writing down, say, like my top 5 or 6 values that really can guide my choices and my decisions, you know, when I'm up and I'm down, especially mm-hmm. when I'm down. It's like, all right, car, take it to the mountain. You need a hug today, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So understanding yourself on like a soul level and yeah. then creating your choices, your career, your love life, your dog life, all of it.
Yeah. So So with, you know, with values, that is something that I have also started, you know, hosting workshops about values, the same as you, like really, really, you know, digging deep on who, you know, who I am and what's important to me and you know, what I want to create. And I mean, you know, with talking about values and, you know, really living your best life, why do you think people hold back from that? From really like finding out who they are and living life to the max?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think, you know, you can only speak from personal experience truly to talk authentically. So I think for myself, I think sometimes it came down to knowledge.
Yeah.
So really knowing myself on that deeper level, I hadn't done the work. I'll mm-hmm. tell you what. I hadn't really gone within because I was pretty scared to see not only the light, but the dark. So when exploring your values, there is going to be a side of you that doesn't always live them. And mm-hmm. so approaching those questions of when you wavered from your values, or maybe it's been a couple years and you feel sticky, stuck, lost.
Yeah.
I know for me, those times was where I was like, oh, I'm not going there. I don't want to talk about myself. I'd rather talk about someone else. I'd rather dive into work. I'd rather, you know, like go to the bar, like anything to distract myself from actually having to do the work. So for me, that was one of the things, was knowing myself and truly going into the light and the dark that we all have within us, that polarity. Because mine is strong, right? Like there's definitely a bridge there.
Yeah.
So I would say the light and the dark. And knowing the self. And then I would say courage mm-hmm. on the other side. I think I've touched on it a little bit. But having the courage and vulnerability to say that you're worth this amazing life. I think that's hard for people. Or I shouldn't generalize. It was hard for me.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to know that I deserve and I understand and I can create on my own.
Yeah.
And it was very powerful to start to play with mantras, declarations, things that vision boards, things that could move me in a different direction and try something new on.
Mm-hmm.
And trying something new, oh my word, that's courage, that's vulnerability, because you're not going to be good at it right away, or I never am. And it's so frustrating to my all too raging ego.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wrote something similar about that this week about, you know, we just, our ego wants it now, you know, so if we're trying something new and we're not good at it, you know, it's so easy to just be like, okay, I'm just going to give up and maybe, you know, I don't want it enough and stuff like that. And really like, you know, leaning into not being good at things when we all first start off. And, you know, I'm like an endurance runner, and I always have to remember that there was a time in my life where I could not run. Like I would step outside and run, you know, to the next lamppost, and that would be it. I would be like, whoa, this is difficult. And now I can run ultra marathons and, you know, really cover quite a lot of distance, and we are all new to things, but it's so easy to forget because we just want it now. We want it to feel good right now.
Ugh, amen, sister. I can tell you a couple months ago, I was in like a gnarly funk. You know, when you get in a funk.
Yeah.
And I tried everything that made me feel good. Like, I tried the hike, and I tried drinking more water. I tried the Michael Jackson song. Like, all my things, you know. Yeah. And I went for a trail run, and it was terrible. I mean, talk about ego. I looked 90 years old going up that mountain. And I was really slow. But what I realized at the top was my heart was beating. I tried something I hadn't tried in a long time, and I was not good at it.
Yeah.
But when my heart was beating, I was reminded that I'm alive. And yeah. I think that's the purpose of life, is being alive.
Yeah.
So living your best life is living when you feel, like, righteously alive.
Yeah.
And not that it happens every day when your heart's bumping out of your chest and mm-hmm. you're on top of a mountain. I mean, let's be honest. You can't really work up there all the time. Get yeah. it? I get it.
Yeah.
But I think there's that ability to continue to move that way. So sure. it was interesting to be so terrible and mad at myself and then shift in a moment and be like, oh, this is it. This
yeah.
is it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, one of the main areas of your coaching is goal setting. So tell me a little bit more about what goal setting means for you.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're on the theme of mountains, and it's like the easiest for me to play with, goal setting, I actually, speaking, you introduced me on Twitter. I just tweeted yesterday that goal setting is really a beautiful balance between creating direction
mm-hmm.
and being open to the mystery of getting there.
Yeah.
So I liken it to hiking, right? Yeah. So you have a mountain, and say you and me are going hiking, Liz, and we're looking at the top, and there's the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, that's where we're going. That's the goal, is yeah. to get to the top. Obviously, it's really great up there. I want to see what we can see.
Mm.
And so we start hiking, and I don't know why in life I always, in my mind, think it's going to be a straight path towards my goal. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be really easy. So you start hiking, and you have an incline.
Mm-hmm.
And you're turning to the right, and then there's switchbacks. And then you're going down, and you and I could look at each other and be like, what the hell? We yeah. just climbed so high. Why are we going down now?
Yeah.
And there's a valley, and there's a dip, and you have to circle around the mountain to get up. So I liken goals to hiking, because the thing is, you have your direction set, and you want to get to the top, and you perhaps have, you know, mapped out with your compass where you're going.
Yeah.
However, when you start the hike, you don't know what's on there.
No.
You do not know which way you're turning if you've never done that hike before. You don't know what animals you're going to see. You don't know what people you're going to run into.
Yeah.
So I love the mystery of hiking and the ups and the downs. That's a beautiful reflection of how life actually goes when you start moving towards a goal.
Yeah.
It's never going to be, and for me, it's never been a straight, easy path.
No.
It's been yeah. one that takes commitment. Sometimes redirection,
mm-hmm.
sometimes checking in to say, is this really the goal I want to be doing?
Sure.
And
yeah.
climbing back down. So that's how I see goal setting, Liz.
Yeah. Yeah. And that like totally resonates with me. You know, one of my favorite quotes and what you tweeted yesterday, I loved that. And it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from, I think it was Bruce Lee. And he said something like a goal is not always meant to be reached. It just serves as something to aim at, or I don't know, something like that. And it kind of resonated what you said yesterday as well, that I found that since I've introduced, you know, goal setting, I've always been a goal setter. And I think it comes through, you know, running marathons and things like that, and have, you know, wanting to run a marathon in a certain time and stuff like that, that it's completely changed my perspective of really where I'm aiming at, you know, in my life. And at first,
yeah,
at first I found goal setting a little bit restrictive and kind of, oh, you know, I set this goal and now I have to do it. And I really had to get real with myself and really change the way I looked at goals, you know, and I love that analogy of the mountain. That's, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Yeah. And you have to find like the analogies that work for you. You know what I mean? I probably couldn't talk to you about marathon running, because my 26.2 miles I did was treacherous.
Was it?
Oh my God, Liz. More power to you, girl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, one of the, the real biggest lessons that I've had with goal setting and sometimes it not working out and having to really turn back and do a full 180 is you know, my decision to run across America with Nicole Antoinette, who we both know, and that,
yeah,
you know, a year or so ago we were emailing and she emailed me one day and said, hey, let's run across America. And I was like, okay, let's so do this, you know? And we were planning it and emails were going back and forth and we were really getting, you know, pretty serious and committed about it. And then I realized that I started waking up and not wanting to do it, you know, and having yeah. real doubts. And I really dug into those doubts and, you know, was I scared? It's such a huge commitment. And it wasn't any of that. I was prepared for all of that. It was just that I didn't want to do it anymore. And it was such a big wake-up call. And I remember, you know, talking with my team at Lululemon about it and saying, oh, my God, like, I've committed to this goal. You guys almost hired me. You know, Lululemon were like, we want someone who's, like, gnarly enough to run across a country. You know, we love you.
Yeah.
Like, and then suddenly I was the girl who wasn't doing it anymore. And it was a really difficult time, you know, to make the decision to not do it and to turn back on that goal and say, you know what, I'm not doing it anymore. And since then, it's completely changed the way I look at goal setting. So,
yeah, I think you bring up a great point, Liz, around failure. I
mean, yeah.
Sometimes people don't want to even say the word, but I know I'm similar to you. I ran that first full marathon and I set another one in Chicago. I think like a year or two later.
Yeah.
And I started to train and I was like, I had even signed up for the race and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to train and my body was like, listen,
yeah,
10 miles. We don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah.
And so I failed the goal. Mm-hmm. Like literally I dropped out, didn't run. I cheered for all the runners instead.
Yeah.
And I failed. And to be honest, it feels, empowering to know that failure's part of it, because if we don't allow failure to be part of it, that's what I think stops us too from setting goals, because yeah. oh my God, what if I fail? What will people think of me? What will people say? My integrity's on the line, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think values are so powerful too, because you can come back and check in with your values and remind yourself who you are,
yeah,
and not be a failed goal in mm-hmm. that moment.
Yeah.
So I definitely love the truth telling in not rocking all your goals. Cause yeah. if you are, then they're not big enough.
Yeah.
They're not huge enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, whilst we're on the subject of goals, you know, they do take daily commitment. So we set a goal and then, you know, that's the almost the easiest bit, right? Just saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run across
yeah.
the country or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I find through, you know, my own coaching and myself setting my own goals, that the actual setting of the goal is the easy bit, and then sticking to the process of working towards that goal is often where, you know, the shit can hit the fan. So what's your advice to people listening who have set a goal but are now kind of like backpedaling, like, oh, I've set this goal, and they're just kind of going in circles?
Yeah. I've been playing with this in my head as well, because there is a daily practice that comes in to really creating the goal that you've set for yourself.
Yeah.
And for me, what comes into play is a word, and the word is commitment.
Yeah.
And so when I commit fully to a goal, I'm all in. There's no 50%, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm 100% in to make this goal happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there obviously are going to be days where it's like, ugh, this is the worst. Like, I just ran a half marathon.
Yeah, you PB'd, right?
Yeah, girl, it was awesome. I ran San Fran, and I'm doing another one in like 3 weeks in Las Vegas.
Amazing.
So, you see, I half. I want you to be clear. Like, it's not a full. I love a good half marathon.
Yeah, okay. yeah.
So, I do find, like, I love that we're just on the topic of running. But it works.
Yeah.
Like, I find there's days I wake up and I'm like, I do not want to run.
Yeah.
I do not want to run.
Yeah.
And obviously there's going to be days where you do it anyways because you're fully committed and you need to get that mileage on your legs.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, there's going to be days where you give yourself a break and you listen to your body. So if my knees or my shins are barking, I need to also connect within. So I've really been playing with goal setting and committing fully mind and matter.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean mind and body, like the whole shebang.
Yeah.
It's like you said, sometimes it's easy to say it out loud. And I feel like sometimes that's pretty cerebral. That's pretty much our brain being like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
But have we integrated the goal into our body to commit fully? And this is where I've really found the difference of listening in. And it, I think it sounds somewhat new age, but when you talk running, we can get physical and say like, okay, my knees hurt.
Yeah.
I can't run.
Yeah.
I can't run today.
Sure.
I need to go to yoga and I need to stretch this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are other days when I know myself well enough, Liz, where I need a friend. I need some accountability. Or if I'm really falling off the rocker, I need a good challenge.
Yeah.
So like I have people that will come over and go for a 3 mile run with me.
Yeah.
Or I have my, I've enrolled my whole family is running the Vegas half marathon. So we set a challenge between each other to run so many miles in the month leading up, and we can follow each other's mileage online. So there's an accountability there when you start to know yourself. I need sometimes a buddy system. Knowing myself well enough, my own inner critic in my head, right? We, most of us have one, I would say. I should generalize, but mine is nasty. And my inner critic will say, oh, you can't run today. You're too slow, all that. And I need to call a friend. Phone a friend. And say, hey, Molly, do you want to come running with me? And there are times when I know it's been maybe a couple days I haven't run. And this is when I don't know if you got this, but I set a challenge with, like, my family. So we'll run a certain miles. And that way we can track and hold each other accountable. So you're holding yourself accountable because you're fully committed. But you also, or I find that I do really well when I choose accountability so I can lean on those days when I'm feeling funky.
I mean, that I had the exact same in April of this year when I chose to run a really hilly 40-mile ultra marathon in Ireland with my friend. And it was one of those crazy things that you're like, okay, let's do this. And then as the training sets in, you realize it's pretty hardcore. And we were the same, you know, we kept each other accountable. And there were days where like a little message would pop up on Facebook and she's, you know, my friend Katie would be like, Liz, I've got to go for this training run. Like, you've got to help me because I just can't get out of bed, you know. And then just keeping each other accountable, you know, and me just saying, dude, like, just go out and do it. And I'm waiting, you know, you're not allowed to message me now until you've gone and you've come back and you've done it. You know, and we did. And it, it works so much because especially with running, you know, when it's, well, I was going to say when it's cold, but it's not really cold in LA, LA, right? It's not like London cold.
It's never cold.
But, you know, especially in the UK in the winter when it's pitch black and freezing at 6 a.m. in the morning and you've got to get up and run before work and things like that. It's, I think, you know, accountability is just so, so powerful.
And so available, right? Like, call someone. I won't lie to you. I'll put it up on Facebook. I am going for a run right now. If you see me liking anything, call me out. And I can use social media as an accountability tool. I mean, I don't even know if anybody's reading it, but in my mind, they are.
No, totally. And I think, you know, something that you said earlier is that sometimes we just don't feel like doing things. And it is really leaning into whether that's just a, we don't want to go to the gym or we just don't feel like it, or whether it really is like, okay, like my body is telling me to not do this now. And I see that so much, you know, like I've got lots and lots and lots of friends around me who are really like serious runners. And sometimes, you know, they really run through a lot of pain, you know, and they're you know, they're injured or whatever. And sometimes I see that with people who have set a goal of, you know, perhaps running a marathon or you know, like you did, and then you just said, no, actually, like, this is not okay for me. And it's having the balls to kind of say, you know what? I'm not feeling it now. And that is okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much power, I think, on both sides. You know, when you set a goal yourself.
Yeah.
And you can listen.
Yeah.
Listen in, right?
Yeah.
And I think on the other side as a coach, and you know this, Liz, our job is really to listen.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is really a magical place when you can share insight, you can share a tool as a coach, and then listen to how it lands in the person you're working with, because they're going to get it their own way.
Yeah.
And they're going to live it their own way. And we can't do it for anyone.
No.
So I think that's the cool part of being in coaching, is really practicing being a listener. I won't lie to you, I have listened as a tattoo on my wrist because I needed it for a long time as a reminder.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I mean, it's just the most powerful gift, right? Listening to someone. I think, you know, we all have so much to say, and often we're not listened to. You know, we're listened to, but we're not deeply listened to, like really listened to.
Yeah, I think we all forget sometimes that we're all coming from such different past experiences that really create who we are, and our thinking of right and wrong, or, you know, awesome or not so awesome, is different per individual.
Sure, yeah, totally. And before I trained as a coach, I actually trained as a counselor, and that was something that, you know, was just so incredible about the training, that we would have to sit for an hour sometimes and not say a word, and have someone just talk and talk and talk and talk, and not be able to say anything, just sit with our back to them.
I love it.
Yeah, and it is such, yeah, it's a real skill, isn't it? Just listening, taking it all in.
It is a skill that I practice every day.
Yeah. Because often we all have an agenda, don't we, about, you know, what we want to hear, as opposed to what's being said.
Absolutely. And like, listen, like someone says something and all of a sudden we're like trailing off and thinking of it our own way. I mean, my fiance was talking to me yesterday in the car, and I don't even know, I told him this in the grocery store, so I can tell you, but I maybe took in like 3 sentences.
Yeah.
And it was like a 20-minute ride.
Yeah.
Because I was so up in my own space, up in my own headspace.
Yeah.
About a call I had just had, or something I needed to work on. And it was interesting to be able to actually, being present isn't necessarily being physically present. It's actually clearing your mind so you can hear the other person.
And what do you do when that happens? Like, when you caught yourself doing that? Did you catch yourself doing that? Or was it later on you realized you hadn't really been listening to him?
I feel like I knew it. And when we got in, we were going grocery shopping. And when we got into the grocery store, I just told him, I was like, actually, he called me out now that I'm really thinking about it and being honest with you. He was like, oh, what are you working on? And I told him, and I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about this. He's like, oh, so you weren't listening to anything I was saying? And I was like, I wasn't. And so I just had to be honest with him and, you know, ask him to tell the story again when we got in the car, and truly ask questions and make sure he knew I was listening and be there.
I mean, when I do it, and I mean, we all do it, right? I mean, I do it, and sometimes I have to physically say out loud, back, I'm back. Like, I wasn't, you know, I have to admit it as well. Like, I really wasn't listening. I am back now with you. Like, what were you saying? We all have so much.
And they know.
Yeah.
Like, we think we're being sneaky.
Yeah.
As human beings. We're not sneaky. My eyes glaze over. I probably, like, my mouth starts to move as if I'm talking back, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm probably, like, in a whole nother zombie phase.
Yeah.
Where I think I'm being fully present.
Yeah.
But I'm not. And they know. So it's almost like when you say, like, okay, I'm back. Sorry, I was gone. Yeah. I imagine most people are like, oh, I know. We can tell.
Yeah. No surprise there.
I know.
I really wanted to, you know, when we were talking about goals before, I mean, what are you up to right now in your life, goals-wise?
Yeah, so much, Liz. Well, I think one of my biggest goals that I have been putting the planning aside, and I had a lot of travel last month and now I'm back. So I have a wedding to plan. Yeah. So one of my like huge life goals was to marry a Midwest man and live this beautiful future together. And I found him.
And yes.
I know, really exciting. I found him quite a few years ago and we're very happy, but he proposed in February. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I have plenty of time. And we found our venue pretty early and we're getting married in June. And now I think it's go time. Yes. I don't think it is go time.
Yeah.
So that is one of my big goals, is getting my mom in town. I don't want to find my dress without her. So, you know, contemplating like getting her to LA. Mm-hmm. And then next is, okay, I guess I need a photographer. Like all of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So wedding is one of my top goals. As you know, the half marathon in November is with actually my mom and my sister and my dad.
Yeah.
So it's a big family trip that I set a goal in this year to see my family four times on my own accord.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they can't come visit me. That doesn't count. It's right. all me making the effort to visit yeah. them.
Amazing.
So yeah. So this was a birthday present for my dad mm-hmm. That I got him in January, and everyone jumped on board. So this will be my number three of showing effort. So mm-hmm. I've got to figure out the fourth one. I know we're coming close to the end of the year, but that was a big one for me of, mm-hmm. especially living in California, my family lives in Texas
okay.
and they are my number one value. So yeah. starting to set goals for my values has mm-hmm. been really cool.
Sure.
And so running the half marathon, obviously a physical goal, but also a family goal.
Yeah.
And then my fiance and I actually want to move to Colorado.
Oh, so, wow.
So, yep. That's a big transition in regards to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like how Rock Your Bliss business will have two headquarters here in Venice and there in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And really getting our ducks in a row with all of our, you know, businesses that we work for, as well as our friends and our family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a set date that I would share for the fact that, to be honest, Liz, I've moved the date. I think we're on number 18, how many times I've moved the date. But I will just say 2015
yeah.
feels like I'll send you a picture like, oh, hello from the mountains, and there I'll be.
Amazing, yeah. amazing. So, you know, you said about meeting your fiance, and you know, you had this kind of guy that you wanted to be with, and you, this is something that you do, you know, a lot of vision work and
yeah.
vision work over here in the UK. Like when I mention vision work, people kind of look scared, like, whoa, this is just like out there, it's just new age.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love vision work. Like it's been just so clarifying and powerful for me. And I just want to talk about it all the time, you know, but I find that with my coaching and even talking to friends about it, they're like, dude, I don't know what my vision is. Like, I don't want to look in the future. So can, you know, from your perspective, can you explain what vision, you know, your, not your vision particularly, but like, what is visioning to you?
Yeah. You know, visioning is so powerful for me because when you go out in time, right? So if we were doing like a 5-year vision, even a 1-year vision,
yeah.
right? We did October 2015.
Mm.
You can actually remove a lot of constraints that
yeah.
you feel today. And that has been the biggest thing for me, is removing the constraint of where I'm sitting right now, right? And you can
yeah.
probably think of, like, everybody listening can probably think of like three things they feel are blocking them.
Mm-hmm.
Most common are time, knowledge or experience, and money.
Yeah.
Like in a year, you know, you could have a lot of knowledge under your belt. You
yeah.
could have published that book. All those things could have happened.
Yeah.
So when you go out into the future, what you do is you give yourself possibility.
Mm.
And what I think stops people, and what stopped me for some time, was I wanted to know exactly what my man looked like.
Yeah.
I wanted to know exactly how many kids I had, right?
Yeah.
And for me, when I started to let go of knowing all the answers and just closing my eyes and feeling what I wanted, my vision really evolved into a beautiful exchange of people. And it's really only a 15-second snapshot in time. And I've played with it a lot to where it's gained a lot of detail in this 15 seconds. But it's like an exchange where I get out of the car and I walk in my cabin, which is my house, and my kids are there, my husband's there. I know I'm coming home from something radical in my career, but I have no idea what it is. And we changed to go hiking together as a family because that's what we do. And for me, the solidification of my home, my family, I do have an all-electric car in the future, so, you know, it's really green up in there. Those are the things that grant me a softening. They grant me an excitement. They really grant me a beautiful aha moment that all is coming. And I think that's what so many people worry about is their future. And actually, if you can go in there and create one moment that feels amazing that you're moving towards, not one that feels necessarily gnarly pressure. Like for me, I put enough pressure on myself as an individual daily. I'm pretty aggressive and pretty fiery. So for me, giving myself the gift of something that allows a peaceful, beautiful moment in my future that I know in the depths of my being will happen. It really is this beautiful place to create for. So from that vision, my goals lead me to getting married, having babies, buying a home, moving to the mountains. All of it starts to envelop this beautiful 15-second moment in, it used to be 10 years, now it's probably like 8 years.
I've had the same, really, you know, really similar, where my 10-year vision is now probably like 2 years away or something like that. And it's pretty incredible that, you know, I don't think that it's coincidence that it has come, you know, towards me so quickly, because I've really been working on exactly what I want and what that vision looks like, and really, you know, the direction that I'm going in. And yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably 2 years away. So I love it. I love it that, you know, yours is coming sooner than you thought as well. Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's so powerful to give yourself the gift of visioning. You know, for some people it's scary because they perhaps, the common thing I hear is that they don't know what they want. But then you just ask. I had a guy do the same thing because he didn't know if he wanted kids or not. And I was like, well, what do you want? He's like, well, I know I want to be happily married. I was like, let's go there. And so you work with what you do know right now. And the rest gets to be that beautiful unraveling, that beautiful mystery that life will inevitably have.
Absolutely. And you spoke a little bit about, you know, getting to know yourself through values, you know, really getting to the core of who you are. And I read one of your blog posts recently about that you got to know yourself through taking yourself on dates.
Yes. Solo dating.
I loved it. So tell me more, you know, tell me more about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, I actually wrote about, I remember in my 20s, I really, and I feel like most people could pick up on this already if they've been listening, I didn't like to be alone because then I would have to, like, you know, face myself. So I remember taking myself out alone for the first time. I was like, all right, Jackie, just take yourself to the movies by yourself. You'll be fine. You just go do it. And I went and I did like an early matinee. I'm a cheap date. And I was with like a bunch of senior citizens. And I wrote in that blog that for a moment I felt really lonely. I think I was reflecting my own feelings on wondering if, like, are these senior citizens lonely? Like, of course, I'm already outside of myself on my solo date. And I came back in and I was like, oh, they're doing something they love. I love the movies. I'm going to do something I love. I'm going to treat myself to butter popcorn. And I walked out of that movie with, like, you should have seen me. I probably marched out of there with this sense of, like, look what I did. Look at me.
Yeah.
Because I was so proud of myself for going out alone.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, for some people, that probably sounds crazy because they might do it all the time. But for me, I never liked to go anywhere alone. I had a great group of friends in college, and we always did everything together.
Mm.
And when I moved to California, it takes a while to make new friends.
Yeah. Mm.
So that was my first date. And then I would go and, like, after work, if everybody was busy, I'd go have a beer by myself.
Mm.
And the bartender would talk to me, and people in the space would say hi. And then sometimes no one would talk to me. And I think what it started to get me to understand is that openness to A, yourself.
Mm.
You know, you can sit there open.
Mm.
You can sit there open to connect with someone, connect to a film, connect to yourself.
Mm.
And when you go solo dating, you don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You don't have someone else there to guide you.
Yeah.
You don't have someone else there to open the door for you. So it's all you calling the shots. You want sushi or you want Italian?
Yes. Yeah.
And I also love a good bookstore date by myself.
Yeah.
Right? I can get lost in books. Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
So I think what it did was it allowed me to start to create a decision making in myself.
Yes.
And I had always leaned, especially in your youth, right? You're like, where do you want to go? And you're asking like 8 people, where do you want to go out tonight?
Yeah.
Or how should I feel about this boy breaking up with me? You're always asking.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
And I think when I started to take myself on solo dates, I started to know.
Mm-hmm.
And though it was far and few between, I would say I definitely, in my 20s, I didn't make a weekly practice of it. I totally wish I had. I'd probably be light years ahead of myself right now. But mm-hmm. I still love, you know, going to a coffee shop and sitting alone. And it's funny because people want to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people say hi.
Yeah.
Or people comment on your shirt, because a lot of times other people are alone too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And humans desire connection.
Yeah.
So I think it starts in yourself, like knowing that you can connect with yourself.
Yeah.
And knowing you can make decisions and knowing that you can say hi to some random stranger that could be your friend for life if you open up. So that was my solo dating experience, starting to know and make decisions and opening up outside of my, like, safe haven of friends I'd already made to, like, you know, that bartender or that amazing senior citizen that decided to walk out with me. Anything.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Because I think there's something so, you know, raw and vulnerable, isn't there, about, you know, taking yourself out for dinner, or, as you said, you know, going to the movies or doing anything alone, because, yeah, you're right that you have to make a decision. There's nobody else to say, oh, I don't mind, you know, I'll do whatever you want to do. You know, you've got to rock that decision and go with it. And I had a really similar experience. You're talking about senior citizens. I came out of a really, like, messy breakup a few years ago. Well, quite a long time ago now, more than a few years ago, and really came out of it like, oh, I don't know who I am in anything anymore. Like, I don't know what I want, or I just felt kind of naked almost, you know? And I decided that I was just going to do things. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was just going to do things, like take myself out. So I joined, like, a barbershop, like, singing, like,
quartet. Yes. Like a barbershop quartet?
Yeah. And when I got there, I turned up in, like, skinny, like, rocky black jeans and, like, biker boots and a leather jacket, and thought, yeah, you know, this is, like, you know, it's in London, it's going to be pretty funky. And then when I turned up there, it was like senior citizens all sitting in chairs, and they were probably, like, the combined age was about 150. No, probably, yeah. And I just was like, oh my God. But it was the most amazing time, you know, getting to know them. I walked in, like, looking like a biker.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I can only imagine with your wild blonde hair. and all these blue hairs being like, who's this hot pot walking in?
But it was the best time because, again, I walked in and thought, oh, no, you know, this what? And but they were just such, you know, so welcoming and really must have thought, wow, this girl's pretty lost right now. And really just, you know, took me under their wing and just made me feel so welcome. And I always come back to that now that, like, I found almost, you know, I know it sounds a little bit like cheesy or whatever, but I really found myself through just being alone. And now I love it. I love, you know, I love people. I love connecting. I love having a community around me, but I also love just being alone and really just kind of like, you know, doing my own thing and being really comfortable in my own skin. It's a beautiful feeling, right?
Oh my God. I will say it's a journey. Yeah. However, it's a daily thing. Some days I'm like, who am I?
Yeah.
But I will say that owning, I don't know if I can cuss, but owning your shit, literally, like owning your cheesiness. I love Christmas, owning my obsession with Christmas. I love the 80s. I love a good nerd joke that rhymes or has alliteration. Like, all of this, I really think I hid for a long time. Yeah. Maybe just with my family, right? I think that's where I was really the most open growing up. But God, when I've let that loose, it's just been a really wonderful awakening. And it happens every day.
Yeah.
And some days it doesn't. But it can happen every day if you just, like, I find even with my relationship with my fiance, I let him in more and more each day.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see this shift when you can be nerdy. For me, it's definitely like, it's like almost I can't hide it at all anymore.
Yeah.
But when you can embrace who you are and really go in and, like you said, be powerful enough to be alone with yourself and then show all the sides of you to all your great friends, I think it's such a great place to live. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, totally. And that really came, you know, true for me when I started working with Lululemon, actually. And I mean, obviously, you know, you've worked for Lululemon and you know the just the, you know, the amazing people who are around you every day. And they were so different from me. And, you know, my team were loud and like wild and really just like you walked in the room and they're like, hey, and you know, and I'm, I guess, a little bit more reserved. And I really struggled for the first few weeks where I kept saying to, you know, my team, like, I can't be like you. Like, I just, I don't know how to be, you know, I don't feel comfortable being loud and cheering everyone and, wah, you know, and high-fiving and doing star jumps and things like that. Like some of my team are, and they really helped me to be like, Liz, we love you for who you are. Like, just be you. Like, it's okay. We don't expect you to kind of like, you know, go crazy team meetings and stuff. Just be you, like, be powerful in who you are. And they really, really helped to kind of solidify that for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'd say, you know, I started at Lululemon in my early 20s.
Mm.
And Liz, holy crap, I was a mess. And working with like 22 women in a large store in Santa Monica was a huge shift for me. Mm. And I definitely, definitely know that part of my growth and who I became was so ingrained in like the foundation that Lululemon provided. Yeah. And the amazing people I worked with. I mean, what I still keep in touch with so many of the first people I met at Lululemon because they really got so honest with me in a ways that like sometimes people hadn't. And sometimes it needs to happen at work so it feels real.
Yes, totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the people you meet, I mean, I've worked for so many companies and the people you meet at Lululemon are just, just beyond, inspiring and really, you know, do call you out on your own shit and make you look at yourself and who you are and, you know, who you're being and what you stand for. And I've never, ever experienced anything like it before working for a company. It's just like a game changer for me. So
I know, believe me, I remember my first like time someone like gave me what we call feedback, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah,
holy crap, I think my ass fell out of my heart basically and I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah Someone holding up a mirror and saying, hey, this is what's going on right now. Yeah, it's pretty Yeah, it's feedback is, you know, something that is pretty difficult to handle at first, but I think it's so important. And I definitely bring that into all my relationships now, you know, with my friends, and I'm much more like straight up about things, and really just kind of in the moment saying, hey, like, you know, when you said this, or, you know, I really felt like this when this was said. And it's really kind of been a game changer with my friendships and relationships as well. You know, have you found that it really just kind of opened up a whole new way of communicating?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to actually learn how to rein it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it becomes something that was so natural to be open and honest. And then of course, you know, I got obsessed with goal setting.
Yes.
So then I was trying to goal set every human that I ever came in contact with. Yes. And I had to learn how to listen again, yes, to be honest, because I think I, as we talked about a little bit in the beginning, I got a little forceful.
Mm.
Everyone should set goals. Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah.
And I had some friends that called me out that were like, listen, I love you, and I just need you to listen to me right now. I don't want to be coached. Oh. I want you to be my friend. Yes. And that was really, really powerful for me. And we talk about someone else giving you feedback.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it creates this openness. Yeah. And it's powerful when you can see the benefits of it, really. And how it starts to remove those layers that you've created.
Yeah. Oh, God. What you just said then, my friend said the same the other day. She just said, she said, oh, this is not working well in my life right now. And just, blah, blah. And I started to talk, and she said, Liz, I just don't want to be coached. I just want you to put your arms around me and understand that it's shit right now. And I don't need you to like coach me and to make it all better and to really change anything. I just want you to just sit with me, and I want to cry, and I want you to, you know, put your arm around me, and that's it. That's all I need. So yeah, I mean, it's so difficult sometimes to rein it in, but it's needed, isn't it? You know, not everybody wants to be coached and talk about goals and 10-year visions and things like that.
Yeah. Like, it's so interesting you say that, like, put your arm around me. Like, I think when you start to think this is the right way, or I think for me, I probably got into a little stint with myself of thinking this is the only way.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I definitely did close people off or become a little more judgmental or want to coach and save, if you will, like, to save you from hurting.
Mm.
But what I'm doing is I'm not being human.
No.
Was what I realized. I was like, oh, I need to get my compassion back. I think the ego had taken over a little bit of like, show them how smart you are with goals, when really it was about offer it up with the right timing or when asked and requested.
Yeah.
And so that's been something that's been really cool. Mm-hmm. As someone that does stand for people to live their greatest potential and have a beautiful, radical life. But I think the biggest journey I'm learning is the light and the dark, mm-hmm, and embracing and being compassionate with the dark.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And really just being in a place of knowing that people will find the answer themselves, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't tell anyone anything.
No.
They have to understand it in their own language for themselves.
Yeah.
Holy awakening, Jackie Carr. I took forever to learn that.
Yeah, we all have the answers, don't we? Sometimes we just don't know where they are. And
exactly.
And I guess, you know, for me, when I coach, that's always something that I keep with me. You know, you say you've got listen written on your wrist, and for me, I always keep with me. Maybe I should have it tattooed on me. You know, everyone has the answer, and it looks different to everybody else. You know, and I guess for me, you know, as a runner, talking about really finding out who I am, I did that through running, and it's always something that I have to hold myself back from, just saying, just start running. Like, I'm like that with my sister, just go running, and she's like, Liz, I really don't like running. Like, but you just have to push through it and then it'll be okay. And she's like, Liz, it's just not for me, but you know, thank you. I see that it's you know, been so powerful for you, but like running just ain't my bag. And yeah, she knows. She knows what she's talking about.
I know, right? It's so funny to just get outside of ourselves and be like, what do you mean you don't like to run 40 billion kilometers? And people are like looking at you like you're crazy when you think this is natural. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Human connection is a whole nother podcast, Liz.
We can
do part series two.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, just before we end this talk, I mean, I've got a few questions for you. So like a few quick fire questions that,
okay, I'd quick fire. Let me get ready. Okay.
Let's do this. Are you ready? If you brace the position.
Yeah. I'm literally like in locked and load. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So what have you learned about yourself in the past year?
Oh God. In the past year, I've really learned, you know, I will go back to Rock Your Bliss. I really learned how to create partnership with another woman.
Yeah.
So I think for years in my 20s and in my teens, I definitely had a wall up. I would only let women in so far. And there was distrust, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so building a business with my friend Mary Beth has been eye-opening in regards to listening, trusting another human with their own language and what they offer, and creating something for the world that is blissful, that is radical, not alone. And that's been something really crazy when you're like, I can do it by myself, right? That stomping four-year-old.
Yeah.
But when you can lean and trust, it creates a whole new vibration. So I would say learning to trust and lean, especially on the women in my life, has been really big for me.
And what do you like most about yourself?
Oh God, this is great. I really love, that I'm able to speak my voice. So I would say my confidence, and I would say it's been a double-edged sword in my life where sometimes I think my confidence was a shield for my ego or a prove-it mechanism. And now my confidence is actually in knowing myself, embracing the Christmas nerd within, and being open enough to allow myself to learn from others by being so truly me. So I would say my confidence in myself and my voice to speak it.
I love that. I love that. And last question, what makes you come alive?
Oh, wow. I love, I mean, God, this is so fun, by the way, but I want to add, I love seeing people, like a group of people or one person, or listening to someone share what they want to create or sharing what they've learned about themselves, or that I'm a geek about self-development. I love sitting in the self-help section at the library.
Me too.
So yeah, like I love seeing people evolve.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it in a way that's rooted and grounded in choice. And I love the dark and the light that comes with it. And I love being there to either see it bloom or be a support for it to bloom or be a voice for it to bloom. People living their passion, people living their passion and knowing it and exploring it and failing and then coming back. Oh man, that's when I cry, and that's when I get the goosebumps and I feel most alive and want to just help everyone make sure that they have that space to create what makes them bloom as well.
Perfect. I love it. It sends shivers up my spine just listening to you say it, because you're obviously just so passionate, and it's just beautiful. And you know, you say that you love sitting in the you know, the self-development section. I mean, I do too. I mean, when I meet friends, I'm always like, okay, instead of meeting them in a coffee shop, I'm always like, can we meet in a bookstore? And I'll meet you
way better.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, it's awesome. So just one last thing before you go. Which books are you into right now?
Holy moly, how much time do we have? Okay, I obviously have read The Alchemist 3 times, yeah. So I always put that one first.
Yeah.
I have just reopened The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown.
Yes.
Brené Brown.
Yes.
And if I were to send you a picture, there's underlines on every other page, and there's blue and green post-it tabs sticking out from the book. I'm so happy that I picked it up again, and I watch her TED Talk often.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, I love Danielle Laporte. I love what she's creating for the world with Firestarter Sessions and Desire Map. I think that's such a great book of tools, really, where you can come back and there's worksheets.
Yeah.
And I would say I am reading now, I'm reading Lena Dunham's book. I mean, sometimes you need a break from self-help, Liz. So I'm reading her book I've started a book club, obviously, Book Nerds.
Yeah.
So we're reading that book. And then I actually just recently, I'll tell you how it is. I bought a book about trauma called Everyday Trauma.
Okay.
And I took a workshop with a researcher on trauma, and I geeked out over the brain. So I'm also have on my fall reading list to dive in deeper on trauma, and God, I could send you a whole list, but those would be my books right now. Yeah. Brené, Paulo, Danielle, and then I'm going to try Lena Dunham's book and this trauma book.
Yeah, I'm going to look the trauma book up. What's the actual title of it?
Oh God, I knew you'd ask. It's where is it? Oh, here it is. No. Where did I put? Oh, hold on. I'll be right back. Don't move, Liz.
Okay. Okay.
You should probably edit this. I'm like saying it like there's no editing.
I love it. I won't edit it.
It's called The Trauma of Everyday Life.
Okay.
And it's by Mark Epstein. And to be honest, I didn't even really read the back. It was one of those books that I just put on the shelf to buy.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you want to read it together, by all means, I'm more than happy. So let me know if it speaks to you.
Yeah, totally, totally. I read one on trauma recently. I was wondering if it was the same one. We seem to share very similar interesting books, with Renee's stuff and Danielle's. And I can't remember what it was called, but I think it was called Awaken the Tiger Within or something like that. And that was really, really interesting as well. So I'm definitely going to look up this book and I'd love to read it with you. So,
yeah, we'll exchange book lists. I have a bookshelf actually on my blog that I built so people can go and just see the books that I love.
Good stuff. Well, I will link to that. So actually talking about your blog, so it's www.jackiecarr.com, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so people listening, you should go and check out Jackie and also Rock Your Bliss as well. It's just amazing what you're doing, and I love following your work and really you're such an inspiration to me and
thanks, Liz. It means the world. I really do want to thank you for the time, and I'm excited to continue to stay in touch. I hope you get over to LA soon. I'd love to see you. I'd love to run with you. I'd love to hike with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm excited for all you're creating for the world. Yeah. Get ready, UK.
Thank you so much. So I will link to everything that we've spoken about. You know, people are interested in the books and stuff like that. I will link to it when this goes live. And just thank you so much for your time today. And I really appreciate everything you brought to this talk. And I'm feeling inspired already and just kind of like.
Me too. You have a beautiful energy and I'm like vibrating over here. I like want to take you to a bookstore and just sit and have coffee with you now.
Yeah, well, eventually, you know, I will make it over to LA. I mean, people listening to this, I was supposed to be in LA last week, I think, and I was going to meet with Jackie, and I was going to stay with my friend Nicole, and then I was on a team day with Lululemon, and we went trampolining, as you do with Lululemon. No boring meetings, but you know, you go trampolining with your team, and I actually ripped all the ligaments in my ankle, so it put a stop to my trip to LA. So, but I was so keen to still talk to Jackie that we made it happen, right? So
I'm so glad we did. And whether I'm here in California or Colorado, you always have a place to stay. So I'll just say I'll see you soon then.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Of course, Liz. Have a wonderful day.
You too. You too. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.